I didn't want to take any chances. We didn't have to make this decision today. We could have delayed it. We maybe didn't have to make it at all, but I felt it was important, both psychologically and in a lot of other ways.
The U.S. abruptly grounds all Boeing 737 MAX airlines. It's Thursday, March 14th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernardi in Washington. Also ahead, Australia sends one of the highest-ranking Vatican officials to prison, scouring the sea for straws. And is a virtual conversation even real? It's all on today's VOA Asia. In a surprise move, President Trump abruptly announced that all Boeing 737 MAX 8 airliners flying in the United States would immediately be grounded until further notice. This follows the recent crashes of the same model plane in Ethiopia and earlier in Indonesia. VOA White House Bureau Chief Steve Herman was there for the announcement. Steve, what exactly happened?
Well, this was a total reversal over the position that the administration had been insisting on until just a few hours ago, when they were adamant that the MAX aircraft of Boeing were safe and there was no reason to ground them. And then the president came out at the top of a pool spray in the White House Roosevelt Room, which was about a different subject, about related to border security, and announced that an emergency order was being made to ground all of the MAX series of planes in the United States.
Of course, the United States is just joining a number of nations around the world in grounding this fleet. But did the president give any indication as to why he changed his mind?
The president told reporters that, quote, "I didn't want to take any chances," saying, "We just felt it was the right thing to do." He said this was a very tough decision. He was asked whether it was a tough decision. He said it was a tough decision from the standpoint of a company like Boeing to order their planes grounded. He said he worked very much in coordination with Canada, which earlier in the day had released some satellite data showing that there had been some other Boeing aircraft in Canada, which had some flight data which was similar to what had happened to the Ethiopian plane that crashed. He praised Boeing, saying it's an incredible company, and they were working very, very hard right now on a solution to the MAX 8 issue. Now, what this does is immediately cause some great confusion for those airlines flying the MAX series of jets. And we really haven't seen anything like this since, you know, 9/11, when planes were immediately ordered out of the sky. It's obviously not as drastic as that. But for airlines such as Southwest, which is a very big and popular domestic carrier, they've got 34 of these MAX 8 737 jets in service throughout their system. American Airlines has a couple dozen. And United, they fly a slightly larger version that's known as the MAX 9. So it's going to have a tremendous impact, because for them to reschedule all these passengers, get other aircraft ready to take the places of these dozens of planes that were being used is really going to be a huge mess.
Finally, Steve, you have probably flown more than just about any VOA correspondent I can think of.
I'm definitely a million miler, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
Have you, and you know a thing or two, I wouldn't say you're an expert, but you know a thing or two about aviation and modern aircraft. Have you ever in your time experienced something in the air where a plane would take one of these sharp and sudden nosedives?
No. The only time I've experienced something like that was when there was an issue of a big sudden jump in altitude due to turbulence. And as someone who has flown a lot, look, this decision's being made out of an abundance of caution. There have been these two crashes of a new type of plane. That is extremely unusual. I would say, though, that any MAX aircraft that's in the air right now, you can bet that those pilots are probably the most alert and attentive pilots in the sky right now. But I think you're going to find very few people in the industry that are going to say, look, let's make a decision out of concerns for safety. You can never be too cautious. On the other hand, what is going to be obvious is this is a huge mess for the airlines. It's definitely going to impact on revenue and also on the Boeing stock. So not only have we seen a human disaster from these the crashes in Indonesia and Ethiopia, but this is potentially a very damaging for the top aircraft maker in the United States, and definitely a setback for at least three American carriers.
Steve Herman, White House Bureau Chief, thank you so much for the time and insight.
My pleasure, Doug.
And you'll find much more on this story at our website, voanews.com. These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. Vietnam has called on Malaysia to free a Vietnamese woman accused in the 2017 murder of North Korean leader's half-brother Kim Jong-nam. Bangladesh opposition and rights activists say most of the criminal cases filed by police alleging involving bombing or rioting were made up. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says the United States and China are possibly nearing an agreement on a new trade deal, and the United States and the Taliban agreed in draft on the withdrawal of foreign troops from Afghanistan in return for not permitting terrorists on Afghan soil. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more at voanews.com. And VOA Asia continues. Convicted child abuser Cardinal George Pell, a former senior advisor to the Pope, has been jailed for 6 years for sexually abusing two altar boys in Australia. He's the most senior Catholic official to be convicted of such offenses. He has appealed against his conviction, arguing his trial had a fundamental irregularity. Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
Cardinal George Pell was told he'd shown breathtaking arrogance and a callous indifference to his victims when he sexually assaulted them at St Patrick's Cathedral in Melbourne in the 1990s. Pell was the city's archbishop at the time and was unanimously found guilty by a jury last December, a decision that couldn't be reported until last month for legal reasons. He's been sent to prison for 6 years, but could be eligible for parole in 3 years and 8 months. The chief judge, Peter Kidd, said the cardinal shouldn't be a scapegoat for the failings of the Catholic Church, which is facing a global child abuse crisis. The conviction of a man who was Australia's most powerful cleric has sent shockwaves through the church, where Pell was one of Pope Francis's closest advisers and a former Vatican treasurer. The 77-year-old Australian cleric had been seen as the church's third most powerful official. Judge Kidd said his crimes deserved a significant punishment.
While it is a matter of speculation as to how long you will live, the fact is that you are of advanced years and are entering the last phase of your life. Like anyone in the late 70s, your health will decline in time. I am conscious that the term of imprisonment, which I am about to impose upon you, carries with it a real, as distinct from theoretical, possibility that you may not live to be released from prison.
Pell has strenuously denied any wrongdoing. His appeal against his conviction is expected to begin in early June. His legal team has argued that the jury's verdict was unreasonable because it relied too heavily on the evidence of one person. Senior bishops from around the world gathered in Rome last month for an unprecedented summit into the global child abuse scandal. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia, Asia-Pacific markets were mostly lower on Wednesday amid Brexit worries. Japan's Nikkei 225 fell nearly 1%, while the TOPIX index was down 0.84. The KOSPI index in South Korea declined 0.41, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng index slipped 0.52%. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. and we're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. New Zealand is 3 years into what is arguably the world's most ambitious conservation program. The government has set a goal of eradicating all non-native predator pests by 2050 in order to protect the country's fragile indigenous wildlife. While poison will play a part in some areas, officials are hoping that technological advances will also help. From Nelson, New Zealand, Phil Mercer has the story.
The sound of success echoes through a large predator-free enclosure on New Zealand's South Island. It's been years since native birds sang in these parts because of a plague of possums, rats and stoats. These voracious pests were killed off by poison dropped from the sky. Dave Butler is the head of the Brook Waimarama Sanctuary near Nelson. He oversaw an aerial baiting program where poison was dropped from a helicopter, which is allowing native species to thrive here once again.
We saw the first sort of season after the pest removal, big increases in some of the common birds here, the tuis and the fantails and so on. So there's definitely an increase of song here.
It takes 7 hours to walk around the pest-free enclosure. It was completed in September 2016, and Butler says there are plans to expand the project.
We've got the opportunity of working back into the city from here, so 10 minutes drive away, and bringing these amazing birds back into people's gardens. And then this way, we've sort of got 100,000 hectares of native forest to start restoring and bringing that back. And that all ties into the very exciting, challenging vision the country has of predator-free 2050. So starting to remove, push back these predators from large areas is really the next step of that.
We share Aotearoa with some pretty special native wildlife. For millions of years, their only predators were birds, and Aorani mammals were a couple of bats. But when early settlers introduced animals like rats, possums and stoats, they put our native species at risk.
New Zealand started the world's largest mammal eradication project in 2016. The aim is to remove many non-native predator pests by 2050. Skye Davies is the manager of Tasman Environmental Trust.
I don't think that we love killing animals, but the situation is that our really unique native species simply can't coexist with some of these introduced predators. So if we want to save species that are only found in New Zealand, nowhere else in the world, treasures to us, the unfortunate fact is that we need to kill these predators that are causing their demise.
Back at the pest-free enclosure, General Manager Hudson Dodd believes that killing thousands of pests will help to protect endangered animals.
It must lend a renewed vibrancy and collective life force to the place that's been missing for over a century.
New Zealand has one of the world's worst extinction records. But the Predator-Free 2050 project is seen by some as well-meaning but flawed. Jamie Steer, a senior biodiversity advisor at the Greater Wellington Regional Council, thinks it won't work.
One of my biggest issues with Predator-Free 2050 is that it sets up public expectations that just can't possibly live up to. It creates the impression that the removal of just 5 introduced mammals will be a game changer for conservation in New Zealand, when it would actually be nothing of the sort. And that's because while it's true that predation from introduced mammals is one of the threats to New Zealand's indigenous biodiversity, it actually pales in comparison to other factors, like habitat loss, like pollution, and even, it must be said, ongoing harvest of native species. Because, believe it or not, New Zealanders are still literally eating endangered wildlife into extinction ourselves, most notably in the case of our native fish species.
Despite these concerns, hundreds of community conservation projects have joined efforts by the government and indigenous groups, as well as science and environmental agencies, in New Zealand's war on predators. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Nelson, New Zealand.
What is it like to study in the United States, and what do you have to do to get here? The Student Union is VOA's blog, that follows students from all over the world as they face challenges and opportunities of studying at American universities. Log on at blogs.voanews.com/student-union.
This news alert from VOA Asia, Black Sea wheat exporters are boosting sales to Asia from the crop harvested last July in a surprise move, denting demand for U.S. shipments, which were expected to pick up in the second quarter of this year. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. And VOA Asia continues. Environmental groups are celebrating efforts to ban what they say is an avalanche of plastic straws polluting the world's oceans. Chain restaurants like Starbucks and McDonald's are phasing out plastics, and U.S. cities like Seattle have banned them entirely. There are billions of plastic straws in the ocean already, but a group of volunteer trash collectors in Australia is trying to at least clean up a local cove. VOA's Kevin Enox reports.
These volunteer divers are snorkel fishing in Manly Cove in Sydney, Australia. But they're not looking for fish. They're diving for plastic. All kinds of plastic, but mainly straws. It's part of a volunteer effort to clean the cove called Operation Straw.
So when we started this project, we actually just genuinely wanted to count how many straws and other plastic items we were finding in the ocean. So I was really surprised at how many people wanted to join in. And I think it's because it's such a feel-good activity to be able to get in and do something about the problems facing the world.
Harriet Spark founded Operation Straw when she came across this octopus in the cove clutching plastic straws.
We actually once found an octopus, so there's lots of octopus in this bay, it's full of beautiful marine life, and we found an octopus holding plastic straws in its tentacles, and we actually had to pull them out, so that was a bit of a depressing tug of war.
The group volunteers their Saturdays to dive in the cove and pick up trash.
I found 23 today, which is not my record. My record is up in the 60s, but it was a pretty good hit.
The effort has inspired 40 local businesses to do their part by ending their use of plastic straws.
Hugo's situated down here on the water, and Operation Straw is in effect, and they're collecting straws all the time down here, and we know that we're one of the restaurants not supplying those straws.
During Operation Straw's initial summer of work in 2018, the team pulled over 2,000 straws out of Manly Cove. To put that in perspective, Australians use 2.9 billion straws a year.
Oh, you can see the change. There's far fewer plastic straws there now. Bait bags, plastic food packaging, everything else just as bad. But it shows that you can make a difference by implementing change.
Every little bit helps. Kevin Enox, VOA News.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Hong Kong says a total of 92 kilograms of cannabis packages were seized in the 5 months from October last year, more than the total amount seized in the past 3 years. The legalization of marijuana in Canada is believed to have contributed to the steep rise. You're listening to VOA Asia on VOA. Now on VOA Asia, Rome, the heart of Catholicism, now has its own Mormon temple. The entire leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for the first time gathered outside of the United States for the dedication of their temple in the Eternal City. VOA's Sabina Castelfranco has more from Rome.
Italian Mormons are delighted with their magnificent new temple, which has been under construction for 10 years. Italy's representative of the Mormon Church, Alessandro Di Nicciacci, proudly showed us around.
Rome is the center of Christianity. Here is where the apostles Peter and Paul, the early apostles of the Church of Christ, came to preach and bear their testimony.
Inside the visitor's center, marble statues of Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles welcome those who want to learn more about the Mormons and their faith. No expense was spared for what the Mormons call House of Lord, where Mormon families will gather for ceremonies, including baptisms and marriages.
The temple is built with the finest materials. It's very refined. is our offering of love, our show of love for the Savior and His Father. That's why we choose the best materials possible. So there's Carrara marbles, stained glass, fine fabrics. It is all a tribute to our Heavenly Father.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was founded in 1830 in the state of New York by Joseph Smith, who claimed he had a revelation of God.
Members believe the Mormon Church restores Christianity to the form it was back in the time of the Apostles of Jesus Christ. At the heart of the temple is a small pool used as a full immersion baptistry where members of the church can baptize their dead ancestors by proxy. Mormons abide by 10 commandments, including the law of tithing, which allows them to pay for temples and humanitarian operations.
We ask people to treat their bodies as temples. So we ask them not to pollute them with drugs or with coffee or with alcoholic beverages. We ask them not to smoke. That is what we believe was revealed to one of our prophets for the benefit of all the members.
Only members of the faith in good standing can enter the inner rooms of the temple. Inside, they change into white garments, a symbol of their belief that everyone is equal in front of the Lord. Sabina Castelfranco for VOA News, Rome.
Finally today, Google, Amazon, and Apple have capitalized on technology that makes virtual personal assistants possible. Now, a new application allows the user to have a virtual conversation with a video recording of a real person. But how exactly does that work, and why is it needed? VOA's Elizabeth Lee explains.
Hello.
Imagine picking up the phone and having a virtual face-to-face conversation with a long-dead relative or someone famous. Now technology can make that possible.
Hi. I wanted every great-great-grandchild of someone living today to be able to get to know that relative in a completely different way than they would have ever been able to do.
An app created by the company Storyfile will soon be available for users to record answers to questions about their lives and save it for future generations.
The person that I would trust the most with my life, completely, 100%, would be my husband.
Anyone with access to this account can then have a conversation of sorts with a person who recorded these answers.
Who would you trust with your life?
Person that I would trust the most with my life, completely.
A person's answers can also be placed in a public mode, so anyone with the app can interact with that person. In the future, another possible application would allow users looking for work to include a link of their answers to job applications or to a social media page so that potential employers or friends can learn about you in an interactive way.
What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is blue.
Storyfile aims to also produce higher quality interactive life histories with prominent people.
How are you doing?
Wonderful, thank you.
Such as astronauts, celebrities.
I travel around the world.
And even past presidents. From these cameras to your smartphone, interactive life histories can help connect the present to the past in a more personal way.
I'm not too sure why it's my favorite color. I think because my sister loved the color pink growing up. I wanted
Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Talking with long-dead relatives? I think I'll pass. Well, thank you so much for not passing on us today and this week. That is VOA Asia for today. We'll be back with you tomorrow. We hope you will as well. And until then, have a great day.